Brethren, it's good to be able.
Can you hear me? Good. Okay. Brethren, it's good to be able to be here this morning, and I'm just grateful that Justin had the love for me and the confidence in me that he would ask me late at night. He was really having some serious stomach digestive problems last night, and he called me up and asked me if I was willing to preach the Word of God this morning, and I was joyfully willing to do so. Brethren, we live in a changing world. Everywhere we look, we see change. I have PDAs. I have a PDA, which is literally a computer. It's a full-blown computer. In fact, there were multi-million-dollar mainframes 30 years ago that are doing what this little phone is doing in my pocket right now. Multi-million-dollar mainframes 30 years ago. And if we do not change, we'll be left behind and become obsolete. I mean, there are skills that we must acquire. We call it adapting. We have to adapt, or we become irrelevant in the world around us. Now, the question is, do we adapt and change what God has spoken? This is a very important question in our time. Brethren, I believe that God never changes concerning His Word. It is immutable. It will always be forever true 2,000 years ago as it will be today. There's no doubt in our minds we would not argue that we have to adapt to the changing world. But does the church, the institution that Jesus has created, His bride, does it have to change because times are changing? I do not believe that that will be the case. Look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Here is God speaking, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." James chapter 1, verse 17, it says this, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Now, we've gone through a lot of history since these words were penned. But the words still are true today as they were then. And I will tell you that if the Lord does not return, say in 1,000 years, that these words will still hold true. God does not change. Man may change, but God does not change. In Psalm chapter 102, verse 25 through 27, it says this, "Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shall thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." Brethren, His Word has to be our foundation. His Word has to be our foundation. It has to be the anchor of our soul. Because I will tell you that the world is full of whirlwinds, hurricanes. There will be disasters. There will be death and disease. There will be all manner of things that will distract us from the things that are truly important. God has got to be, His Word must be, the foundation of our life. For us to be able to endure this pain, this veil of tears that we're dealing with. Consider this. Psalm 119, verse 11. "Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." We have to have the Word engrafted into our thinking, our ever psyche. It has to transplant and throw out a lot of values and thoughts in our brains that are really hurting us. We have got to bring God's Word into our life so it becomes instinctive. We must be meditating on His Word day and night, as the Scriptures teach, that we will be ready for the adversary when he comes to us. And he will come with a vengeance. He is the lion who is out there seeking whom he may devour. And we need to make sure that we're ready for that lion when the time comes. But brethren, what makes right right? This is at the core of these religious errors that we see today. Why there are so many denominations. I mean, it is just incredible the explosion of views, spiritual views, that are supposed to be biblically based, how they've exploded and how they all differ. And my question is, if truth is truth, how is it possible that we could have so many varying degrees of opinion? And it rests within the heart of man. It rests really in the heart. Are we willing to allow God's word to say what it says? And are we allowing to mean what it means? And are we willing to comply with that? Are we willing to humble ourselves to the simplicity of the truth? Because it's not a complex thing. The world may make it a complex thing, but it's not a complex thing. This diversity of faiths really scares me. It because I wonder, why is this happening? When God says something is right, it's right. But conversely, when God says something is wrong, it's wrong. And we need to accept that. Science, philosophy will never change what God has said. Never. Look at this. Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore we ought to... What? We ought to give the more earnest heed. We need to be paying attention. We need to have our focus on what's important. And God is speaking through this inspired writer. And he's saying to you and to me, I need you to make sure you're careful to understand. Take heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should slip from them. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, i.e. the apostles and inspired men. These are the guys that wrote this inspired book. This is what God spoke. It was inspired and it was given to men. They wrote it down. I thank God somebody wrote this down. As they were inspired, they wrote those inspired words down. These are from God when we read these words. They're not my words. They're God's words. I may twist these words. Even this morning I may twist these words, but I will tell you, God's word cannot be twisted. It only said one thing. But sadly, we can change. We can change. Consider all the things that have changed in the last 100 years. My dad was talking to me one time. He said, son, I remember the Iceman, the big burly arms of this Iceman would come up the stairs and drop ice in a bucket. And on the bucket it had one half. Or it had one. I'll bet you Weldon can remember the bucket, this ice box. And Grandma would go put a number on it, and she'd put a bucket. She'd put either a full block of ice or a half block of ice in that thing. And he did it every day. I haven't seen an ice man in my entire life. In fact, I've never lived in a home without electricity. I'm telling you, we've come a long way in 100 years. So we've changed. I hear well-meaning denominational people, and sometimes even within the church, say that we're old-fashioned. That scares me. Are you telling me that what God has spoken becomes irrelevant? Is that what you're telling me? That's what you're saying when you say we need to have a better way of doing things. Well, let me, are you telling me the Holy Spirit has inspired through inspired examples, has given us a clear picture of what the church should be. So there's no ambiguity here. We can see what the New Testament church was in the first century. And you're telling me that that example is not sufficient for today? We need the view he has of the Lord's church, this glorious bride that we are a part of, that glorious bride has not changed. And we need to be careful in our modifying what God has spoken about. What do I see happening? I find denominational, well-meaning denominational people, and sometimes within the churches of Christ, who think that, you know, we need to improve on this, because you know what? Our church could be a lot bigger if, and they come down with a list of man-made ideas of how they can improve on the Lord's church. And the Lord's church can be involved in, well, we all fellowship halls, but I don't want to stick on that. We can create a gymnasium. We could create all kinds of special health groups and special programs that have nothing to do with the Word of God and evangelizing the truth. We could do that. And I will guarantee that if we were to exercise that within this body right here, this church could probably double or triple. I've seen congregations of people that have 20,000 members. Wow, really? But you look at what they did under the hood. They have done things that God is completely silent about. But we've embraced that. Why, look at the results. And the results become the reason why we do things. It's not because God has spoken. No, God has no bearing to this. We're just looking at the fruit of it. The fruit of it, well, we got all these people, therefore it must be right. And I'm telling you, that must be wrong. That is not a good reason for doing something. The whole world may go to Hades and back, but does that mean I should do that? Or the whole world may neglect the Word of God, but should I do that? Of course not. Of course not. We need to stick with the pattern that the God in His holy inspired word has given us. I tell you, trends are really appealing. And there are people who even walk from the congregation, these simple conservative churches of Christ, because it's not enough for them. The simple New Testament pattern is simply not enough. This troubles me, and it should trouble you. You need to sit down and think about it. What is really driving your train? What is driving your car? Is it the Word of God really driving your car, or is it what you want? I pray to God it's not what you want. I pray it what God has spoken. Malachi 15, verse 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. When man elevates his wisdom, I accuse them of doing exactly this. I accuse them of this. Because it didn't come from God. It didn't come from God. It came from the fabrications of men. So who could it be? If it's not from God, then it's from man. And that's exactly what this passage is dealing with. I want my worship to be according to the New Testament pattern, even if it kills me. Because I'm going to tell you something. In the end, I will be held accountable for whether I honored His word or not. Whether I was truly a man of God, a righteous believer or not. The only thing that makes you right in God's eyes is, was it revealed in the word and did you do it? That's what makes you right. You may think you're right, and you're in that gray area. And I don't want to be in a gray area when it comes to God's word. I don't want that. I want to be right. And I want you to be right. Don't fall into this trap. I haven't found one good reference. Not one. And please, if you can find one, please come to me right after services and talk to me right away. I haven't found one good reference of a man or woman who decided to do it their way. Not one. There's always been a punishment. For the prophets who prophesied beyond what God had spoken, guess what the penalty was? It was death. death. That's how serious God was about his teachings. When I see people who did it their own way, I find all kinds of manners of problems. In fact, we're talking right now in the book of, we're talking about Ezra, and we're talking about even just looking at Jacob and multiple marriages and all the problems that it created for them. God didn't want multiple marriages, but their hardness of heart, he allowed them to do that. But they also suffer the consequences of those things. Think of Uzzah. You know, if you don't know anything about the Bible, I mean, you should at least know something about Uzzah. Uzzah was this guy who thought he was going to do the right thing by holding and stabilizing the ark so it didn't fall out of the cart. A good thing on the surface, he was put to death because he dared touch that ark, which only the Levitical priests were allowed to touch. Consider Nadab and Abihu, another great example of two young people. They're not kids. I think I made that mention before. But no, they were young people, probably in their 20s. And they decided that they were going to bring in strange fire. This sounds like a good addition. We're going to bring that thing in, and we're going to bring strange fire in our very first worship of God. It sounded like a good idea. They were put to death. Did you hear me? They were put to death. Now, the question is, why would the Holy Spirit reveal such things like this? Just FYI? I don't think so. I think the Holy Spirit revealed this and says, look, I want you, Jack Haynes, to be very careful when it comes to my word. Don't add or subtract from what I teach. And honor what I command. That's what he's telling me. And I want to do that. And I will do that to the very best of my ability. And I pray to God that you will do that to the very best of your ability. Would anyone want to improve on God's design of the church? And yet we see it all the time. That's just no problem. We'll just go ahead. It's a great idea. And you can just look around in the denominational world all around you and see all the manner of things they have done to improve on the design of the church. But does that make it right? I don't think so. Romans 1:22-23. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed. Now, this is a sin that they got involved in, but I maintain this is for any sin. Any sin. Professing themselves wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image of man, an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. So they just made any kind of religion they wanted. That's what man-made religion does. You become what Paul is warning you here. Anytime you go beyond what God has spoken, you create a man-made religion. And it can be just about anything you want it to be. In this case, it got to the point it was so bad that we had all kind of manner of sexual sins and all kinds of idolatry. It can get that bad. When we elevate our wisdom above God's wisdom, it comes at great peril to our souls and to the souls around us. Fathers, mothers, grandfathers, grandpas, grandmothers, you are making an impact on your family. What you do, what you say, will be held against you or for you. This is a serious thing because it goes right down to our children. Our example will be watched. It will be. Don't think you're going to get away from this. I will tell you, your children are watching you. Your grandchildren are watching every move and everything you say. And I pray to God that it is a holy, righteous thing that they see in your life. Here in Romans 1:25. These are people, this is what they did, who changed the truth of God into a lie. You remember, what is right is what God has said. Anything that God has not said is something else. I maintain it's a lie. This is the truth, right? Then this must be a lie. I look at this purely from a mathematical point of view. I look at math, and I have an equation. I'm solving for x, and I've solved for x, and x can only be one thing. And anything other than that is not true. It's false. They changed the truth of God into a lie. They did it by creating their own form of worship. They did it by changing the design of the church. They did it by adding all manner of wonderful contributions that brought the people into the door. But it wasn't the truth. And they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Romans 1:26. For this cause. Now see, this is what happens with us. See, there's a little bit of a catch here. You see, you decide you're going to do the wrong thing, or you just didn't really intentionally try to do the wrong thing. You just were lazy about it. Whatever. Whatever your reason was, you just did the wrong thing. Intentional or otherwise. But, you know, you choose a path, and there's something you're going to have to pay for. Look at this. For this cause, gave them up. God gives you up. Now, in this case, it was vile affections, and it was sexual immorality. Yeah, and you chose that sin, and you reaped all the heartache that went with it. Whose fault was that? Not God's fault. God told you to flee fornication, told you not to do these things, but no, you didn't listen, and you know, we all can, you know, we may not have listened from time to time, but we paid a price. And if we keep doing this, God is going to give us up. He's just going to say, look, I quit. I'm going to let you go and do your own thing. I can't control you. You're not listening to what I have to say. You are not a good son or a good daughter. You're just doing what you want to do. And I have to give you up. So what is your anchor? Brethren, I hope and pray that it is every word that has come from God's, that God has spoken. That's what this whole sermon is about. I pray to God that your every waking moment is to think about what God has said and to challenge what you are doing with what God has spoken. I've told people, I said, you know, I almost live in a state of prayer. Almost live in a state of prayer. In my car, when I go to bed at night, when I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm constantly praying because I want to be a righteous, holy man. That's my goal. And I pray to God that every man and every woman has that desire to be a righteous and holy man or a woman. And I know you're not there. I'm not there. But you know what? I have a God who's gracious. I have a God who loves me, and He'll discipline me when I deserve it. And I get all these spankings that God deserves. I deserve every bit of it. But God is willing to let me get through that. But I tell you, what is right and what is correct is only going to be according to His Word. Let His Word be your anchor. Ephesians 4, 11 through 14. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth, now this is the view, this is the goal, that we henceforth, from now on, starting today, we no longer like children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and by the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I want you to be so smart when it comes to the Word of God that you know that that's wrong. You know it's wrong. And you can conjure up three or four passages of Scripture to tell you, I need to stay away from this. And that's everything. Worship, how you treat your spouse, how you treat your children, how you are a grandparent, how you were a parent, everything. I want the Word of God to drive every bit of your life. Because I tell you, there's where the peace you're looking for is going to happen. The real peace will be knowing you did the right thing. The real peace is knowing God's Word drove every decision I made. How will you keep your anchor? We've talked about this on several occasions, repeated this. And bottom line is, Moses had it very clear. Remember the days of old. Remember what you've learned. In this particular case, we have generations. Ask thy father. I'm assuming your father is a well informed of the word of God. So you can ask him. And he will show thee and thy elders that they also know the word of God. That they can show you and they will tell you the way you need to go. So you get good counsel. But it's counsel that came from this book, not from me. Jeremiah 6:16-19. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. And where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor my law, and rejected it. It doesn't end with the Old Testament. John 14:15, Jesus even said the same thing. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. What doctrine are we talking about? The Word of God. Take heed and unto thyself and unto the doctrine. In other words, I want you to take heed to the words you read. I want you to be very careful and to think about what is being said here in my words. This is not a flippant thing. This is not just, I read it really quickly and really didn't think about it. No, he's saying, I want you to think about it. I want you to think about the words you read. Continue in them. Not only read it, not only figure it out, but I want you to take heed and I want you to live by it. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save thyself. Wow, isn't that what it's all about? What is the purpose of us being here this morning? What is the purpose of abiding by the Word of God? Isn't it because we want to go to heaven? I'm going to tell you, this author, this guy, Paul, said this is why. This is how you're going to get to heaven. You're going to save yourself and them that hear you. Because what you tell them is what God has told you. So obviously, should I resist every change? The answer is no. And some things in our church, for example, we might change because it's not as effective, but yet there's a better way and more scriptural and a scriptural way. We can change, but it has to be change that God has allowed for us. So you look at right now, we're looking at our classes and we're looking at how can we improve on those? How can we reach the children better? Well, I think that's a good question to ask because we want to save them. We don't want to lose them. And hence why we're doing a change in our scriptural, how we're doing our classes. But remember not to forget the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and statutes which I command thee this day. Beware that you forget and then you stop doing what God has spoken. And we talked about I've got just scripture after scripture after scripture. I don't know where my time is at this point. We're running out of time. I have scripture after scripture after scripture. I've got probably 10 more scriptures I can read to you. Every one of them. Please do what I say. Please do what I say. Take heed to what I say. Be careful what I say. And you see this throughout the Old and New Testament. So this is not something that's just new to the Old, just new, something old and it's never been repeated. No, it's been repeated in the New Testament over and over and over again. Now, I feel like I beat this poor dog to death. And I didn't mean to do that. But you can tell how important this is to me. And I hope it's important to you. So when you look around here, look at how simple this worship is. This was done on purpose. This was done on purpose. Our elders tried to immolate the New Testament pattern as it was revealed in the book of Acts. And that's why we worship the way we do. You don't see musical instruments, you don't see choirs. You don't see our involvement in a lot of activities. Now, bear in mind, let me tell you, and this is something I find troubling, and I think I can take a little aside for just a moment. Just because the church can't do it, because God has not authorized that, doesn't mean that you can't do it as an individual. For example, I took the kids out and we went bowling, for example, with the kids from bowling. The church didn't do this. We didn't spend the Lord's money on this. Jack Haines spent his own money. That was okay. And the elders embraced that. So just because the church can't do it doesn't mean you can't do it. But if it doesn't happen, it's because, well, I mean, obviously it didn't happen because of the church, because we felt it was unscriptural. But on your point, it didn't happen because you didn't do anything. And that's not what the church is about. The church is about people who do things, who are committed to the family of believers here at this congregation. And I pray to God that you're totally committed to the church that Jesus built here. That you're totally committed to this church. Because I don't want you around if you're half-hearted. I really, to tell you the truth, you're more of a distraction. Because, you know, everyone looks at you. They're looking at you. Everyone looks at you. Everyone's looking at me. And I'm telling you, if my epistle written on a tablet of my heart is really not there, they're not there. As Jesus said, I prefer you hot or cold, but to be lukewarm, I'm spewing it out of my mouth. He really meant that. And I'm challenging you to rise to that level of being hot, not cold. But to be lukewarm, what good is that to the church? What good is that to the bride of Jesus Christ if you're half committed to His Word? And remember, your children are watching. Paul talked about how the Word saves us. In Acts chapter 2, it was very, very clear, very articulate, and very simply stated, unless you repent and be baptized, you won't be saved. I mean, you can only be saved by repenting and believing and being baptized into Christ. Now, how hard is that to understand? This is the kind of thing we're dealing with. And yet, people have come up with all kinds of ways to be saved. I want you to listen to what the Holy Spirit has revealed here next to. And I want you to come forward. If you have not been baptized in Christ, I want you to come forward and become a New Testament Christian right away. So that you can enjoy the blood that will cover your sins and make you white as snow. And I hope and pray that you do that now as we stand and as we sing.